Welcome to The World According to Craig, where we have friends who are a lot smarter and prettier than me show up every week to talk about things in a much more intelligent way than I would if I were by myself. This week, we have event producer and marketer extraordinaire, Jeff Consoletti. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
As you know, today we're going to talk about the concept of experience because you've created so many of them and what it means to create experiences for people, even in a COVID world or post-COVID world, bless. But before you get there, I would love for people to get to know you a little bit better because you've been creating experiences in a different way from the beginning. I mean, you got your start as like an opera singer, which is
breaking the secret there.
I mean, I've known you for 15 years and I don't think I
keep that hidden, that talent. You know, I guess everyone would hear that my name ends in an I, so the Italian heritage is not lost on me. And growing up in a large Italian family in suburban Boston certainly had its share of crazy experiences from my earliest memories of just holidays and parties and, you know, a Sunday afternoon would turn into a
Pats game alone is an experience.
Exactly. I mean, then you add on the Patriots for years when they were actually terrible when I was growing up, which arguably they might be again now, but that's another show. But we just grew up with a Sunday dinner being something that we would look forward to, and who was in charge of making salad or stirring the pasta sauce. And, you know, it's funny because I think as an adult, when I'm making my own pasta sauce, it's an event on just for me and my husband. I recall like those days of watching my grandmother do that. So, a party, like my life has always been a party in some sense. Mm-hmm. And whether I'm giving to the clients that we work with or the friends that I have, I'm always looking for a way to like wow and surprise them. So I think that stayed with me from my earliest days.
And then, I mean, I love this concept of the family dinner as an experience. I think when people think of shared experiences and we think of concerts and going out and all these other things, now people are back to family dinners as experiences.
You're creating your own experience like in your home with whoever happens to be there with you. And that's been, I think, a challenge for some to have to pause what they might have been doing in a otherwise frantic life for themselves, like to then internalize that at home. But I think it's then turned into like this surprising moment because from a lot of the conversations I'm having, people kind of love it. I mean, I know people miss going out and doing things with everyone in their life, but they've really been able to create a new sense of experience at home, whether it's cooking dinner or helping the kids or, you know, tying in with just like a small core group of whoever you're quarantining with.
Right. I mean, arguably parents know more about their teenagers now than they ever have before.
For better or for worse.
So how do you go from this familial experience, this life experience and experiential component to doing what you do now? Because you don't just produce pasta sauce as an experience at home, which bless, like I emailed this chef who like delivers because you don't want to see me in the kitchen. I just light it on fire. But you create experiences pre-COVID for thousands of people, for some of the highest profile events and brands, tens of thousands of people, concerts and festivals, and even in COVID, you're doing that digitally. How do you go there from where you grew up? Like, no one grows up, I think, saying I'm gonna be an event producer.
No, exactly. Like, there's not a track really for event producers. And I don't even think I thought about that. So, you know, you mentioned the opera. I went to school in Washington, D.C. and was a presidential arts scholar. So I studied at George Washington University, but then I trained at the Kennedy Center. So I worked with Placido and was like a voice opera person.
I'm so impressed, Jeff. Brilliantly impressed.
It was something. So, you know, my parents kind of liked it at the time because they're like, oh, maybe he'll be in politics, but also he's still getting his like play in the arts. And DC, still to this day, is just such a fruitful community for the arts. And the program at the Kennedy Center and at GW is very immersive in production. So that really gave me my first sense of like design and theatrics and scenic and lighting. And I realized I loved all those elements. So fast forward, like, yes, I was performing. Fast forward, I graduate school. I happened to get a gig at the Taper here in Los Angeles, which brought me to LA. And then I stayed, but instead of being a bartender, I was working in marketing and at an agency where like experiential was like just becoming like a term that we were using. And I kind of jumped onto it. I was like, oh yeah, we can create experiences. And and that's when like I started working events for NBC Universal or CBS Paramount. There was a thing 100 years ago called international screenings where like all of the television buyers from other countries would come to Los Angeles and we'd create these grand events. And that was my foray into events. And I realized I loved it. So in the same way that I was realizing you don't just have to be on stage or work in a theater environment or a television show environment to produce a show. And that for me was just as exciting that I could produce a show for guests that might be for a client like NBC or fast forward could be for a client like Verizon or LA Pride or whoever. So I realized my audience was probably your listeners or people that are, don't know what they might stumble across or what they might be looking to do on a Friday night.
Well, and I think that to piece that out, I mean, that's one of the most interesting things is there's so many opportunities for experiences and what people do from a business sense, which we won't stay on long. What's interesting to me is like those events are designed to move the needle with those buyers, right? Like they have to, there's a business sensibility of like this event has to be compelling because it has to get people in the mood to shell out some money for some TV shows, right? Like you've got to get people to be like, wow, right? Like I remember, there was a premiere for The Last Samurai. Now I'm aging myself, oh, many moons ago. And the goal was to get all of the, like for the all of the international attendees to like really support it in their home territories. And they're like, wow, this is stunning. We've transformed the Warner Brothers lot into, 19th century Tokyo. And so there's a pressure there, but I often think that maybe everyday people are like, well, that's not a world I'm gonna be a part of. But in reality it is because it's a world that you're creating for everyday people in those experiences, no matter where they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people don't realize, well, let me phrase it this way. What people realize is when an event goes really wrong. So you're really in tune to like, there's a line at the bathrooms. I couldn't get a drink at the bar. Gee, this food is really cold. Like those are all sense memories that you just are, that give you a bad feeling about the experience that you're at. So one of like our stepping stones isn't really all that innovative or exciting. It's just how do we minimize the problem so that you are now paying attention to what you're feeling around you. And that's really what I think creates a perfect guest experience. If the guest is leaving where from the time they show up and go to valet or check their coat or have a bite to eat or have to use the restroom and it's really seamless, then they're really paying attention to that wonderful floral that you chose or the design of the linens that matched some sort of treatment or lighting element that you added. Well, and that's what's exciting.
There's a metaphor for life there, right? Which is if you, like there's the non-glamorous, non-sexy versions of like, can we get as many bathrooms? There aren't bathroom lines. Right. Is there no line at the bar? Like it's almost like you've got to get the basics right before you can enjoy the finer things, right? You have to learn 100%. How to bake chicken before you make a souffle, which means that I will eternally be starving because I can do neither. It's not like, but there's the basics of it, right? And then what's interesting to me is that you have to spend so much time on the basics just to create the opportunity for someone's
perception to open up.
Yeah, for their perception to open up. And then you have to go to the second meta level where you've got to open up their perception. And I guess when you think about that, what is, how do you bring people who are wildly different from each other together in a physical space or now in a digital space with a shared experience that they find commonality in. Like there's a weird eerie, like we say that we're so divided, but you could divide, you could create an experience where two people mm-hmm. who are on diametrically polar opposites of beliefs can attend an event and both have fun. And there's something beautifully common about that.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of connection to what's driving those two polar opposite people to still show up. So, you know, is it in the type of music that you're playing or the chef that's appearing or the guest lecturer or that they both have an affinity for fine wines and you're doing some sort of wine tasting? So with our clients, I always try to pinpoint like what's the line, the parallel line or connectivity that's really drawing everyone together? Are we dealing with people across multi-generations or are we really dealing with a core audience? And then from there, you get to add on, what's exciting for me is adding on the elements of surprise that really catch anyone, no matter if they're at complete polar opposites. It's the same moment of surprise. Think of it like as a confetti blast that just goes off like at a whim, but everyone loves confetti, but that's
gonna, like, great for us.
That's going to catch people by surprise. And in turn, like at whatever shared experience they're at, like it doesn't really matter if we're completely opposite politically or just, you know, or like you're 80 and I'm 20. If you're in that same room where you can create something special, I think that's what really sets an event apart. So I try to look at it from an experience standpoint. What are you tasting? What are you feeling? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are you smelling? Everyone's baseline connects when you're grounded in the senses at an experience. And if you can connect the dots for all those people, they'll remember what they're supposed to.
And and that memory component is what's really interesting to me, because those memories are what drive people. I mean, you talk to people about their past and they cite stories, right? And those stories are never, I woke up and I went to the office and I came home and I had dinner and I went to bed, right? The stories are, it was the Christmas of 1976 yeah. and it was snowy winter outside and mom was in there
Uncle
scrounging.
Joe yeah. arrived late with a flat tire and then this happened, you know.
There were experiences mm-hmm. and now you have this opportunity, I think, where we've seen one politician in particular embrace the experience and that has been a key component, not just to stroking his ego, but to driving his success, right? He's created experiences for people. I think you see this, there's opportunities everywhere in the world where if you're a president creating a rally, or if you're a brand who's like, let me mm-hmm. create a digital screening that's going to get people to tune into a premiere of something, or if you're on the opposite side trying to create this feeling of inclusiveness and embrace, like we're creating actual movement in society through these experiences, through these memories.
Yeah, people latch on to that. People, yeah. I mean, in the example you're using, like you hear so much rhetoric craziness about, you know, what the current president might be doing, but there is something to the brand that he's creating of like, oh, I think I'm there because I hear the yelling and I'm feeling the frenzy. It's the Coachella model. Yes, 100,000 people go every year, but everyone thinks, no matter in the world, that they've ridden that Ferris wheel. Like, it's not possible for the millions and millions of people to have rode that Ferris wheel, but when people think of Coachella, they think of the Ferris wheel and the yeah. thrill of riding it and hearing whatever headliner is performing. And those events have really established themselves with some sort of element that's memorable, whether you were there or not, or walked by it or not, you know?
So what do we lose in today's environment, right? Like we talk a lot about the loss of kids going to school and loss of jobs, and this isn't to diminish any of that, right? Like, but there's also something to be said for, I don't know that people realize the sense of loss they feel for going out and having experiences. Mm-hmm. Do they eat, you know, I'm not sure how many people have the emotional intelligence, and not in a derogatory way, but to realize this is a source of stress for me, is that I'm not going out and having an experience, whether it's going to a sports game. I mean, you go to an NBA game and every individual moment in between has like a game or a dancer or a promo or a giveaway, and we can call some of them annoying mm-hmm. or it's a time to go to the bathroom or a time to go buy something, but like whether it's a music festival that you're throwing or it's an NBA game, for roughly 2 years, people will be sort of scrapped of those experiences and we lose something there a little bit.
It's kind of a sad time. Like when you think about it, it's nice to kind of come home, like what we were talking about a few minutes ago, but it is a sad time. I mean, we've tried to drive an experience still, even if it's just online, to try to tug at heartstrings. But yeah, like I think we spend a lot of our year producing concerts, and I don't know the next time that we're going to be able to be punched up next to one another, you know, crammed against the stage.
Saw those pods where people are like 6 feet apart, you six people per thing.
Which I think is kind of interesting. Yeah. And honestly, for me, like that's a concert experience that I would like, because maybe I don't want to be slammed up against
the
stage.
I'm always like behind the velvet rope. I'm like, I don't need to be right up front. I can, where's my champagne and where's my chair?
Right? Exactly. But like that room, like what you're talking about, a sporting event and really being amongst a ton of fans, it's we're moving in a little bit of a different direction. But I think it's about looking at experiences in a little bit of a different way. Like baseball figured it out, good for them. Basketball kind of figured it out.
Oh, they have the screens.
Yeah,
with the
Or if you watch like, you know, the Ellen Show or the Kelly Clarkson Show, they have like this digital audience that is kind of interesting, where, I don't know, you're somehow selected to be on the screen, but you're at least sharing in that. I do think that the concert pod experience, is there something to it? I love sort of the resurgence of the drive-in and looking at it in different ways. And how that's kind of taking over for both films, but concerts and now experiences and brand takeover, like stay in your car, feel comfortable and get out next to it. But it's making us think about how we experience things in very different ways, but exciting ways.
So it begs the question, you know, I think that a lot of people end up going with the flow with society and where society leads them. And that's great. Like we're on this shared journey together. It begs the question though, if people will be more cautious, more careful about the things that they do and the experiences that they have and more embracing of them. I see these memes, which is like, you know, when the bartender said last call, I didn't know that he meant for 6 months. And so it's like, another meme was, when it was like, I swear, ask me out again. I'll go this time. Because we're all like, do we really have to go out to meet friends? Right. Like, do you think coming out of this, knowing people, and I mean, your job, your life, your career is creating experiences for people. Do you see them being more proactively cognizant of the experiences that they have and want to have? Or, you know, we're all desperate to get out in the world.
There's definitely a need for experience right now. There's a hunger for it. I think that we as citizens of the world need to do our part to get back out there. We need to help our restaurants and our concert venues and any of those experience-driven retailers. Like, if we don't do our part, then our communities are going to be a step behind. It's going to take them a minute to catch back up. Mm-hmm. And while it's nice to take a break and stay home, like that needs to be something that's in the back of our mind, because it's not guaranteed right now that our favorite restaurant is coming back, and they're trying their hardest. And we're in sunny California, like at an advantage compared to some other markets, you know, that have cold months ahead of them. And I think that
I don't know what anyone's doing in Manchester, New Hampshire in an outdoor dining situation in February.
I don't know. But I do think that we also like experiences will come back and it might be tiered, because we are more eager to get out there and probably encouraging and are going to help to drive that. And it might take a few of those rounds for someone that's been a little bit more tentative or hesitant to feel safe. And I do think there's like a safety barrier that we need to push through, not because it's fearful to go out or we should be scared of COVID, but that we feel prepared and that we feel like we're creating environments that are safe and healthy and clean, and that we have assurance that we can exist and experience.
Well, I mean, it's certainly, you have tackled a million challenges, so that's yet another one to add to your plate and your career listing. But and I also think that that coming back to those experiences can bring those people back together. I mean, you have this experience taking festivals from scratch or that weren't inclusive and making them places where all kinds of populations can exist together and come together in celebration of something.
Yeah, my favorite is watching two strangers, you know, bumping shoulders at some concert that we're producing and and then like, I don't know, somehow hearing a story that they became friends that night. And
drunken concert
and
buddies
are connecting, you know, years later. But that's what events have always, the passion for events has driven me is creating surprise for people to share in individually and having that moment themselves, but then connecting with one another. And while we're all existing in our networks right now, don't we miss like, hey, we should get like meeting someone, whether it's at a work meeting or out at a bar or restaurant or whatever, and seeing like
all the introverts of the world just like, shut down and tune out.
Like there is something to like how we've all built our networks that goes back to a party you've been at or the restaurant you dined at or the music you listened to.
Well, as a culture and a society, I often say we talk a lot now about social distancing, but we've forgotten about social businessing in that like, as a society in the US and in schools, like we spend a lot of time teaching people socialization, yeah. not socialism, but socialization. some people have their preferences on those, but we, about how, what it's like to interact with like Bobby and Johnny on the playground and, yeah. and what it's like to be at work, right? Like I, you know, in back in my law firm days, they, you know, they said, listen, you all went to Columbia Law School together. Like we know that you've got that behind you. The question is not, do you know something coming out of law school? Although mm-hmm. transparently no one did. They're like, it's who do I want to be around at 9 o'clock writing a brief with, right? Like it's who do I want to have that shared experience with? It's who do you, like that sociality of us as an existence, I think has fueled our growth as a country, has fueled our growth as a society. If you look at the US as a melting pot and that just, you grew up in a Boston, you know, Italian yeah. family, and you look at just the sheer number of individual identities and population in this country. For all of us, we don't have a shared history like the UK or a shared identity like France. That's being sort of torn apart a little bit, but we don't have that history. We're young. What we have is a shared experience.
Yeah.
And all of those identities come together in those shared experiences, and those threads aren't just football games and basketball games. They're concerts, they're movies, they're the world that we share these experiences that make us feel like we belong with that person and like you could be friends with that person. I mean, I was never very friendly at concerts because I get like crowds, it's like a thing, but that, I mean, that's what's incredible about what you do is like at the end of the day, this shared experience is you're part of an industry whose sole goal is creating shared experiences, and those shared experiences are part of a very important thread of who we are as a country. And mm-hmm. I don't know that anyone ever stops and thinks about that. They're just like, I went to a cool party. And you're like, no. Super Bowl Sunday brings us together.
So much of the lead in to like everything pre-COVID was like this world of experiential and activations. And it was booming, you know? I mean, we saw that in turning from, you know, a consulting producer into, you know, a small firm into a leading experiential agency. You know,
I mean, you went from you and one other person to like 40 people because the world realized that like
pretty quickly,
yeah.
You know, and that's been, you know, something that I've been very blessed by and excited by. And obviously we've scaled a little differently in what this 2020 has brought us, but like all of that just doesn't poof disappear. Like brands might be approaching events with a little bit of hesitancy right now, but when we come back, like it's all going to be all in the experience because no one's going to want to just be home. Like no one's going to want to stream something else. And like, honestly, if I never have to Zoom again, I think we're all saying that. Like,
this is why I'm being careful to do this first season of the podcast in person, because everybody's in my like quarantine pod. Because I'm like, listen, I cannot do this over. Like I can't, I need to see people. I need to feel
Give
my
me
plant.
The invitations. I'm saying yes to everything. And so should you, everyone should say yes to everything when they can when this comes back. Fill your social calendars up because I think that what will be created Certainly in the industry that I'm in, and I think what brands are stewing over is going to be really exciting. And I think if this year's taught us anything, it's about even some of the digital, the ways that we've been able to connect digitally can now sort of fuel what we're able to do in person going forward, that I think will be exciting with like AR and like the Oculus like trend, which I think is going to be probably a device that's in all of our homes soon enough, you know? And
bless. I don't know that I'm ready for that. I'm lucky with my phone. I could take a picture. But I think, you know, I think you're right. I think that shared experiences, those bring us back together. Everyone should say yes to them. It's amazing to me that you get to be a part of this thread that people don't think about is such a thread of American culture. You heard it first here, Jeff Consoletti, American hero, bringing America back together through experiences. But I cannot wait to attend your first concert back. I'm sure that there's also 65,000 other people who feel the same way. And I am just so grateful to have you on here and talk about that experience and talk about what it means to create those experiences. Because I don't think people actually think about that. I think people just have taken it for granted. And even now it's gone. They may not necessarily have cognitively processed, oh, it was being there with other people.
Yes.
That feeling, that energy of all of us together in this, listening to Adele belt her heart out is different. And so I think it's a really important point to highlight. I think it's part of the threads that connect us as a society. And I'm so grateful to know somebody who plays a role in that, and that you came to sit down with me today and talk about it.
I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm always thrilled to talk about our work. I didn't even say that where we can be found at JJLA.
Yes.
So please take a look at the really cool experiences and concerts and wonderful clients that have trusted us with their work at JJLA, jj-la.com, or follow me at Jeff Cons on Instagram.
Don't worry, we'll have all the follows, all the likes, please. All the promotion. And I am so grateful that you came to talk about experiences. And I'm so grateful that I get to have people like Jeff who come and talk about things in a way that is far more intelligent than I could, who know far more about those things, and that they share that experience. Thank you for tuning into this episode of The World According to Craig, when we've realized that it's never actually according to me. And we hope you tune in next week. Thanks so much.